Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public.
Fanboy.
A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
G'day. Welcome to the program. I've always wanted to do that. DJ Bevo here, or Bevo as they call me on the radio. Today's guest, I actually met at a wedding many years ago when I was a wedding MC and DJ. She came up to me and was very interested in radio. And most recently was on the air in Triple M, Hobart, with the Dave Noonan Show, with Al Plath. I believe that's how we officially introduce her today on the podcast. Hello, Alison Plath.
Hello, Bevo. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Did I get it right? Because I was trying to remember everything just before we got on air and off we went.
You did. And can you imagine I was anchoring that show, having to say that every time. The Dave Noonan Show with Al Plath, it was like, can we just take the two names off, please?
I guess Dave Noonan has been a bit of a Hobart institution for many years, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is no other institution like that. Than Dave Noonan in Hobart. He's an absolute legend. And I tell you what, he was a gift from the radio gods for me to land as my very first big time radio gig.
Yeah. So let's go back to the very beginning. We both met at a wedding on the Sunshine Coast and you were very interested in radio. I asked lots of questions.
I did. I was super excited. I'm very excited to be talking to you today. I'm a bit of a newbie. I feel like a kind of an imposter, you know, listening to
really?
Your first one with Matt. Well, you know, I sort of got into the game a bit late. I had two kids by the time I was 20, so I was sort of doing the mothering thing for years and just doing sort of part-time salesy jobs. But I always had dreamt of doing radio. And, yeah, I finally got off my backside a girlfriend. She actually asked me to audition to go on The Amazing Race with her. And I said, okay, what do we have to do? And she said, we've got to come up with a 3-minute audition video. So that was it. I was putting together that video and getting the creative juices flowing. And I just was a little bit obsessed with the whole creative process. I thought, you know what? I can't not follow my dreams anymore. And so I just started pursuing radio and started doing some stand-up. And that's what finally got me off my bum to get involved in radio. And that's where you came in at that wedding, because my girlfriend, whose wedding it was, you were emceeing and doing the whole DJ thing and being amazing.
Yep.
And she goes, you need to talk to this guy, Dad. He's going up the sunny coast. And I have to say, having people like you, Bevo, to even just run a few what you think are stupid questions by when you're just getting into the industry, you're so paranoid to do or say the wrong thing. Well, I was anyway. I just didn't want to sound stupid, and it's really been wonderful to have people like you. And you know, I've got a mentor in Sarah Marie Cameron. She was on Nova, she's now on Triple M Brekkie in Melbourne. Just people to ask the dumb questions to is just invaluable when you're getting into it.
Well, I reckon that's the way you learn, is making mistakes through life anyway. You've got to learn firsthand. It's someone else's experience is going to be totally different to yours. So,
that's what community radio is for, isn't it?
Well, that's it. You did end up getting into community radio and then all the rest follow. So let's hear the rest of this story. Where did it go to from our chat at the wedding?
Yeah, well, I started doing sort of little short courses just to get my head around everything. I went and did a 1-week intro to radio course at Arthur's down in Sydney.
Perfect.
Yeah, I had four kids, so I couldn't really just go, hey, I'm off to Sydney to do the year-long course. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, I'll at least get a little bit of a taste for it, and I just knew that I really wanted to do this. So I did that, and that gave me the confidence to head on down to Bay FM, community radio station.
That was your local station, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Because you're in Brizzy.
Yeah.
Yep. And I just said, oh, you know, I've done this. I'd really love to give it a crack. And there was a wonderful guy called Russell Barnsley down there. And so he took me under his wing a little bit and showed me the ropes with the paneling, and we had the CDs and all that stuff. And they said to me, right, well, you can either do a 10 till midnight shift on a Monday night, or you can have 6 till 8 on a Saturday night, 6 till 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I want the 10 till midnight on a Monday night. I want to think that absolutely no one is
so, I was just thinking more of a point that you wanted your kids in bed so you can go out and do what you need to do.
No, I just wanted to think that no one was listening, because I knew and I was right that I would be woeful. So, yeah, that's what I did. And then there was another guy working at this. I knew I always wanted to do team stuff. And so after about, I think I'd been doing it for about 8 months, and there was another guy at the station. His name's Andy Young. He's on Wave FM now down in Wollongong. And he hit me up to do a drive duo with him. So we did that a couple of days a week, and I just loved it.
There's nothing like doing radio with someone else to bounce off, because on your own it's a lot of hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's different personalities, isn't it? I mean, I just think I could never do the solo announcing thing. I definitely want someone to connect with and bounce off and laugh with and have them give me endless amounts of shit so that I can do the same to them. Sorry, I should have asked if I'm allowed to swear. Sorry.
You just did, so keep going.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I find that quite a few of the solo announcers that I've come across, not all, but quite a few of them are actually quite introverted away from the mic. That's been my experience. Not all. Like I said, there's people like you and people like Sarah Marie who are total extroverts, but there's quite a few that, I don't know, of the solo announcers that, they seem to be sort of quite quiet away from the mic. Don't know whether that's your experience too, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bit on, bit off. Depends who I'm talking to.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, you said you're in community radio, and I remember I was trying to help you. I knew there was a job going on the Sunshine Coast, and I thought, oh, you'd be great. And I think it was just a bad time to get you up and put a demo together to get into the breakfast show. But down the track, I think you met Drew Boy at River 949. He's the program director there.
He was so lovely. I've actually sort of had my foot in the door and started training at a bunch of different stations. So, yeah, I guess what really sort of got me started was I thought, who can I speak to, or who do I need to contact in at B105 Triple M in Brisbane? Because I thought, well, I don't really know how to progress from community to the big league.
Yeah.
And so I found out the general manager there was a guy called Richard Barker, and I thought, well, I might never get an interview with these people. So I wrote a fake interview between myself and Richard, just a total P-take, basically letting him know a bit about me and who I was along the way. So I sent that in to him, and he rang me and he said, I told him I'd been doing a bit of stand-up and stuff, and he said, come and say good day and we'll have a chat. So when I went in, unbeknownst to me, he'd organised for me to have a meeting with him, Mickey Ma, who was the content director of B105 at the time, and Rex Morris. Thank you very much. I absolutely, I shit my pants. All of a sudden I'm in a room, I've got no idea. I've just done a bit of community radio, and here I am in front of these, three big powerhouses. I was absolutely packing it. And, Mickey did most of the talking and was really great. And he just said, look, start sending me your audio from community. And it kind of went from there. And then I got the opportunity to start learning the panel in at Triple M. A guy called Alan Shepherd was the first one that was teaching me on the panel. But a whole bunch of guys taught me between the two stations, which, I'll be forever grateful for, because you're just so, you're so worried about doing the wrong thing and feel like a bit of a, particularly because I was a bit older too. Like, I think it's most of the people that are hanging around the halls trying to get their foot in the door are in their early 20s, and I was in my 30s, so I was kind of feeling like, again, are they just thinking, who's this old bird? What's she doing? Beat it, lady. So, yeah. So, yeah, I started sending him audio. He'd give me feedback, and I also, as you said, Bevo, I contacted the guys at River 949, and Drew was really lovely. Snowy started helping me out with the panel, and Yeah, and I also got a bit of a foot in the door at Hot 91 on the Sunny Coast, and that's just what you've got to do, isn't it, when you're trying to break in, because it's just the opportunities are few and far between, so you kind of got to have your finger in lots of pies and just, yes, do the humble thing, put your hand up and say, listen, I'd just really love an opportunity.
Absolutely. One thing I love about the people in radio is that, you know, you've contacted these stations thinking, oh, yeah, they're just going to dismiss me or whatever, and then you're actually quite surprised because they're supportive and they nurture new talent and they show you exactly Absolutely. What you need to do. So it's refreshing.
It really is. I've come across so many lovely people in the industry. And you know what? I think they just get it. Like you said, they understand. Everyone starts out somewhere, don't they?
Yep.
So they just know what it means to have someone actually take you seriously and say, hey, come and have a look at this. This is how it works. So forever grateful. And not just the people that are on air and the content directors, also the people that are just working in the actual building that don't sort of, you just want to be welcomed and have a smile on your face. You know, I had a little bestie in at B105. His name's Blake Debron. And just to have that smile and someone, you know, to have a little mate in the building that you felt like, yeah, had your back, even when you're starting out, it means the world.
Oh, absolutely. I can totally relate to that. And because I've had that feeling, I've helped other people in the past and they've gone on to bigger and better things as well. So River 949, you're doing some work there. Did you actually get on air there, or was it mainly just panelling work? And did you demo to get the job in Triple M?
Well, Snowy and I, like, we recorded a few little things, and there was another guy. Oh, I feel so bad. I can't remember his name now.
He'll come to you in a minute.
He was a young guy who was – yeah, he was also trying to get on air as well. And look, it's just a matter of, I just hung in there. I just kept sending audio, like I said, into Mickey. I did stop doing community after probably about 18 months. I had a bit of a break from it. And there's a guy called Nick Stewart in at Brisbane. He's now actually on Triple M Toowoomba. We recorded a few breaks. So you just got to keep networking, keep meeting different people, and that's what I did. And look, eventually, and I don't know whether this was how it came about, but I think you've got to somehow keep top of mind for people too, these people, the content directors. But there's a fine line between contacting them and feeling like you're being annoying. So it's like you've always, well, for me, I felt like I needed to, you want to have reasons to contact them. And I don't know whether this is what ended up getting me my opportunity in Hobart, but, you know, when Robin Bailey finished up at 97.3, when that happened a few years ago, I actually just cheekily sent Nikki an email and said, hey, you know, have you, you don't have any BFFs at 97.3, do you, that, you know, you could give me an intro or something like that, you know. And he messaged me back and said, he said, no, but have you spoken to Bill Bradley in Hobart about the brekkie announcer's job down there? And the weird thing was, Ross Turner, you know, who was with Grant Broadcasts at the time.
Yeah.
He'd actually messaged me about a job down in Hobart, and I thought it was the same job.
Oh, right.
Such an idiot, because I've got no idea. He'd already mentioned this HOFM job to me, another brekkie announcer job. Now, what are the chances that there's going to be two going at once? This is just unheard of. So I've emailed Mickey back. I totally dobbed myself in that I was talking to the enemy, a different network. And I said, oh, yeah, I've spoken to Ross Turner. I thought it was going to be too hard for me to try and figure out how I was going to do this job in Hobart. And he emailed me back and he goes, no, Al, that's not SCA. That's a different network. So I felt like a complete idiot. And then, I called Phil Bradley from Triple M in Hobart, and, well, actually it was Hart at that stage, and, yeah, just had a chat to him, and he said, look, I'd, you know, love you to talk to Dave Noonan, and, yeah, I think the first time Dave and I spoke on the phone, we were on the phone for over 2 hours, and I just thought, oh, my God, I would love to work with this guy.
Yeah.
He's just such a warm, open, super intelligent, super funny guy, and like I said, he was just a dream come true. So yeah, that's how it all started.
So this is kind of like a catch up between you and me, because we've kind of lost touch over the years and your radio career. And I think the first time I heard from you was when I joined SEA in the Fraser Coast, become a content director, and that was so exciting to be on the same network as so many of my friends. But you're going to have to fill me in for the rest of this story. You got the job, you got there, Breakfast Radio in Hobart, Cap City in Australia, Triple M, hello.
I know. Well, that's what Sarah Marie Cameron, who's my mentor, and that's what she said to me. She goes, oh, my goodness. She said, you realise you've just jumped about three different steps to get this job. She said, you want to make sure they make a big deal of, you know, a few things that I'd done, not that I really thought they were a big deal. But she was like, people are going to be peed off at you that you've gone straight from community to this job. And so, yeah, I was just hacking it. So, because it all happened quite quickly when I got the gig. So I went down, I had about 2 weeks with Dave before we started on air, and he just drove me all around Hobart and we just got our heads around each other, and I just loved him straight away. You can't not love that man. And I was so absolutely crapping myself because I was anchoring and panelling. And so the first morning, I think I got there about 3 o'clock in the morning. We were on at six just so I could calm myself down. And the very first thing I did on air, I stuffed up.
And that's okay.
I know. Well, all we did was laugh. And you know what? I think it was actually the best possible thing that could have happened, because what can you do? You just got to own it and laugh.
Absolutely. And it's once it's out there, you can't repair it. So you've just got to own it and move on.
And you know what? I do love the mistakes, because I think that it gives you a chance to endear yourself to the audience, you know, that you're just a normal person making complete
absolutely
stuff ups just like they are. So, so I had 3 years down there, and then, they decided to, I think like they're doing with a few of the brekkie shows, they replaced our show with a solo announcer.
Yeah.
So his name's Spoon Man, Brian Carlton.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know, I guess just cross-cutting, and I like to think it's just cross-cutting and not us.
Yeah.
It's them, not us, you know.
Yeah. Oh, at least you're looking on the positive side, and, you know, you've definitely worked in radio now because you've been fired, so.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been fired three that's times now, and looking for the next gig. So if anyone's listening right now, Ali and I could do a breakfast show easy.
Well, we could. I've actually just demoed for – I'm waiting to hear this week about a gig somewhere.
Ooh.
It's actually a 6-month maternity contract. So
cool.
I'm actually, I'm waiting to hear whether I get that or not. It's in Canberra, actually. Yeah, okay. So who knows? What else can you do? I mean, the jobs are like hen's teeth. So if you're not prepared to move, then you may as well kiss radio goodbye, hey?
That's exactly right. And I was going to ask you another question. So it kind of leads in with what you were just talking about. Your family, you're talking about how hard it is to, you know, get up and move and just, you know, go and do it. You did it. Did you take the family down south?
No. So, like I said, when I was offered the job in Hobart, it all happened really quickly. And it was kind of like, because I've got four kids. Two of my kids are much older.
Yep.
And then I've got round two with my now husband. So our girls are nearly 14, nearly 13. So when I got that job, it was like, what are we doing? You know, we're moving. So our plan was for me to go down and just give it a go, give it a crack, because I thought, what if they don't like me? What if I last for 3 months and they say, sorry, love, you're out of here? So our plan was for the family to move down after 6 months. We thought, I'll give it a crack, and then they're moving down. But unfortunately, with my hubby's work, everything went a bit pear-shaped. So he had to stay up here and deal with that. But then the following year, that was still kind of going on, and also our daughter, my number three daughter, she was doing her last year of primary school. And then the following year, our baby did her last year of primary school. So we were kind of like, we didn't know whether to, part of us felt really bad to let her go through the whole of her primary school. And then all of a sudden, sorry, kid, you can't do your, your leadership year and all that sort of stuff. So it was really, really, really hard. It genuinely was.
I had a feeling it might go that way, but your dreams are in front of you and you made it happen. So I'm really proud that you did that.
Look, I think the hardest thing was after that first year, because I also initially I signed, they wanted me to sign for 2 years. I only signed for one because I just thought I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know whether I'm going to be any good, like I said. So I signed for the first year, and then halfway through that first year, everything was going really great. So I re-signed for 2 years. And I think the hardest plane flight I did was flying down from Brisbane to Hobart at the start of that second year, because I thought it was really emotional, because I just thought, and I'm actually getting emotional now thinking about it. I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this for another 2 years, you know, do the whole flying back and forward, and it cost us an absolute fortune too. And I don't know, it's testament to my husband's testament to the support of my family, but it's also testament to Dave and to my Hobart family, because honestly, if I didn't love that whole experience as much as I did, and I made some really beautiful friends down there, there's no way I would have lasted the 3 years if I didn't have all of those people around.
Radio is totally all about the people, isn't it?
It sure is.
And you're so lucky that you clicked with Dave. I mean, there's a lot of co-hosts that don't get along. They live separate lives and just come in and turn it on for the show and turn it off when they go home. But, very blessed by the sounds of it.
Yeah, super blessed. And we will be, you know, deep friends for life. I honestly don't know how they do that, Bevo, in working so closely together day in and day out. I mean, Dave and I probably only really had about three arguments in the 3 years. And we got over them super quick, and, you know, we were both in tears within, you know, well, I was, a minute or so, because I couldn't stand not. I don't know how you could do it. You know, I've demoed, I sort of had an unusual experience at the end of last year. I demoed with a guy, and it was really, he was a great guy, very experienced, but he's probably, I had been told that he was someone that, takes a while to warm up to people, which is totally fair enough. We're all different personalities. But I found it really hard because I've worked with Dave and then my mate at Community, and they were both quite warm and really talkative people off air and really engaged. But this guy that I demoed with last year, he's someone that just takes a bit longer to warm up, and I found that really hard. I don't know how I would go working day in and day out with someone who, you didn't have heaps of communication off air, and they didn't, you know, you didn't have that high level of interaction together. I don't know how I would go. I think I always need a buddy.
Yeah, definitely. It's a team. It's a team effort producing a good quality show. And if you're not meeting on the same level, there's going to be conflict, isn't there?
Yeah. I don't know how it went down either. That when I demoed for this thing the first time, the first day, I got a table tennis table down there, and I kicked his ass 12-21. And I reckon he wasn't real happy about that.
Oh, I got beaten.
I don't know.
By a girl.
I know. Well, we were supposed to talk about it on air that day, but it somehow just got swept under the carpet. I will say, though, he did shake my hand like a true sportsman after the game, but I don't know whether I should have done that.
That's very funny.
I didn't get the job, although they still haven't appointed anyone, so who knows what's going on with that one.
All right. Yeah. Alison, thank you so much for telling us your story today on the Radio Fanboy podcast. Much appreciated.
Oh, thanks for asking me. And don't call me Alison Bevo, please, because I feel like I'm in trouble. You have to call me Al or Ali.
You can call me Al. There's a song in that.
Well,
hang on. Didn't he record it back in the 80s? Yeah, that's right. Paul Simon.
You know what? And when they used to play that on Triple M Hobart, every time Dave would make out as if I had actually put that on.
Because,
everyone thinks that we're there shoving in the seat. Little do they know.
Oh, I can totally relate to what you mean when you say Alison. When people me Lee Bevington, it's like, what?
Lee Bevington, you're in big trouble.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I feel really flattered that you asked me and a little bit surprised, but, you know, I'm totally stoked. Thank you, Lee.
I feel very happy that you've gone on to do bigger and better things from when we initially had our chat at the wedding that time. And
I know. Well, thanks for always being there. Thanks for being someone that I could hurl the stupid questions to.
There's no such thing as a stupid question, just stupid answers. All right, thanks for joining us, Plaffy.
Thanks, Bevo.
Al.
Love your work, Bevo.
Awesome stuff. If you want to reach out, you can contact us anytime. through the website. The website, of course, is theradiofanboy.com.au. Join you soon.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast was hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions.